My dear Christian friends, it seems to be a growing phrase in our society, maybe you've heard it before, that something is the worst. Now, I'll give you a few examples. That latest Pirates of the Caribbean movie, it's the worst. You know, every time I text Sally, it takes her at least 5 minutes to text me back. She's the worst. You ever had the ice melt in your iced tea? That's the worst. Now, while I can totally sympathize with someone who is not about to enjoy watery and lukewarm iced tea, I do have a problem with putting any of those three as the worst. I mean, if you think about the worst that life can offer, is it really watery, lukewarm iced tea? Or an incommunicative friend, or at least not a very timely communicative friend. I think there's a lot worse that life has to offer. And Paul was one who knew firsthand some of the worst that life has to offer. There's a lot that you can tell about Paul writing to the Corinthians, who had been taken in by claims of these self-righteous people called the Judaizers. Paul wanted to describe what he had endured for the sake of Christ. Here's what he wrote. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Yeah, now that sounds like the worst. That whole list, it's almost hard to fathom what Paul endured. And he endured a lot as he preached in the synagogues, and he preached along the riversides, and he preached in the marketplaces of the Mediterranean world. In fact, as Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, he is under house arrest, awaiting a trial before the emperor of Rome. And all of that began with a very simple trip to church. Don't worry, it's not going to happen to you today. But Paul went up to the temple to worship, and he knew full well by the Holy Spirit that he would not leave the temple a free man. He was recognized and immediately became and made the lightning rod of a riot. People started shouting and pointing and bringing people on. It was the kind of thing that spread out to the whole city of Jerusalem. People were coming from all over the place to meet at the temple court so that they could finally get their shot at this guy who was, from their perspective, denouncing their religion. And they were going to take him out. Well, in the midst of this, Paul was arrested, kind of for his own safety, but also because the Roman soldiers were most fearful of a rebellion, and so they were going to put it down as quickly as they can. Paul was about to be flogged when he said, hey, do you always flog Roman citizens? That was illegal, and that whole Roman garrison could have been punished, flogged themselves for flogging a Roman citizen that Paul was. Now, he ended up being put on trial in 3 different courts before he finally said, I appeal to Caesar. Everywhere along the way, he talked about his faith and about this Jesus of Nazareth who had been brought into the world. Well, Paul got his request. He was taken off to Rome. The problem was that along the way, he was nearly executed. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a poisonous viper. Eventually, he was rescued and still taken under guard to Rome, where he was able to at least rent an apartment, house, but even then, he still, as Luke tells us, Paul was allowed to live by himself, but with a soldier to guard him. Yeah, that all sounds like some pretty seriously bad stuff. A lot worse than watery iced tea, huh? Short of losing his life, one could argue that Paul's life was the worst. And even though maybe you and I can't sympathize with everything that Paul has gone through in his life, we all have experienced here and there the worst that life has to offer to us. Again, way beyond bad movies and incommunicative friends and watery iced tea. Collectively, we have known hurt and heartache. We've known death and destruction. We've known disappointment and despair. And we have been overwhelmed by worry. We have challenged God's wisdom. We have lashed out in frustration. And if we're honest with ourselves and if we're honest with our God, we recognize that the worst of life has oftentimes brought out the worst in us. Paul too knew about the worst bringing out his worst. He wrote to the Romans, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am." And then he described himself in his first letter to Timothy. He described himself as the worst of sinners. Now, considering his formal way of life, as he himself put it, his work righteousness, his hunting down of Christians, his murdering of Christians, this isn't an overstatement by the Apostle Paul as the worst of sinners. And though you and I may not be guilty of some of those same sins as Paul, we're certainly guilty of sin ourselves, many and varied. It isn't an overstatement for you and me to say nothing good lives in me either. John reminds us, as we saw in our service earlier, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Isaiah declares that our sins have separated us from our God. And Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesians in which he talked about how we are, along with him, deserving of God's wrath and dead in our transgressions and sins. Yes, the worst brings out our worst. We cry out with Paul, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" For a number of years now, West Bend Mutual Insurance Company has been promoting something they call the silver lining. And maybe you've heard their commercials on the radio or seen their commercials on TV. That phrase, silver lining, comes from a century-old phrase, which, when you see storm clouds gathering, you know what they can bring. At the very least, rain. But it can get much worse than that, as we've seen down south with the hurricanes that have rolled through. And yet, those clouds have sort of a silver edge to them, that precious metal. It's a reminder to us that even though those storms of life come, that there can be good things that come out of it. Now, that idea of the silver lining isn't something that's unique to West Bend Mutual Insurance, but I just wanted to share, assuming we have volume, their commercial here, so you kind of see how they have put it.
One of the things that connects us all together, and it's one of the best things about us, is what happens when we get bad news. It's not what you think. Because when bad things happen, something good happens too. People help each other. We don't get crushed by adversity. We grow from it. We get stronger. We don't give up. We step up. Rise to the occasion. Maybe we can't help it when bad news arrives, but we can also take heart. Because the worst brings out our best. That's the silver lining.
That's an insurance company talking about the worst bringing out their best, as they help people on from the bad stuff that has happened to get beyond the worry of the details so they can start focusing more on the good things that are to come. That's a secular, worldly insurance company that can see that good things oftentimes come out of bad. As you think about the worst in your life, consider the worst bringing out God's best. When we last talked about it, we said, with Paul, who will rescue me from this body of death? And then Paul answers that question by proclaiming simply, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because you see, better than any insurance company, our worst brings out God's best. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, Paul wrote, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Not about you, but that sure seems like the best silver lining ever, huh? Could it get any better than that? The worst of our sin, this body of death, and yet God brings out eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? God's best given for you and me. And the thing is that God forgives us our sin and he stands us up and puts us back on life, helping us to see his goodness in our lives, but he doesn't just walk away and leave us to ourselves. He continues to bless us with his best. Just look at what happened here with Paul. Luke tells us in the book of Acts that for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our text for today as Paul's writing to the Philippians. He writes, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Really? Paul, you're in prison. You're in your house, but it's not like you can leave. You can't go out and find the people that need to hear the gospel of Christ. How can you say this is for the advancement of the gospel? Well, he explains, as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. I think that because Paul wasn't able to do it, the people took it on. He said, if Paul can't be out there courageously speaking about Christ, I'm going to do it. So not only has Paul been preaching Christ to people who came to see him and the soldiers who were guarding him, but his fellow believers were also compelled to preach Christ. Now you'd think that one might be embarrassed. The leader of the faith is under arrest. That's kind of embarrassing. But a motivator. You know, I think sometimes for us, we think of our faith, we say, well, it's good enough for me. I just don't know if it's good enough for other people. You know, we get a little bit embarrassed about maybe what we believe or what we hold to, that sometimes we're just so firm on what we believe. Maybe other people won't want to be that way, or they'll look down on what we think, or they'll mock us for what we believe or what we hold most important in life. And so we'll just kind of keep that to ourselves and not share it. People in Rome could have done the same. Paul, he's under arrest. I'm not going to talk about Jesus. Boy, that's embarrassing. That's not what happened. To the worst of circumstances in Paul's life, God brought out the best in his people. He brought out the proclamation of Jesus. And here's the thing. People are longing to find a silver lining in life. Even a worldly insurance commercial can recognize that. And it's true, Paul writes, that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, out of selfish ambition. Some people claim to be Christians but don't live the Christian life. But even then, what does it matter? Paul says the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, Paul rejoiced. Because as you live Christ's story, you preach Christ's story. story. And I know as you live your Christian life, you preach through your Christian life. And none of us wants to endure the worst that life has to offer, but here's the thing, God works through it. Look at what God does through the life of Christ and the worst that he took in our behalf. Look at the life of Paul as God again and again used the worst that happened to Paul to be a way for Paul to proclaim Christ. It said he was in three different courts. And every time he was able to point to Jesus Christ. Until ultimately, in the court of Caesar himself, Paul was able to confess Christ to the most powerful people on the face of the earth. Talk about God bringing his best out of the worst. Because you see, when God points us, uses those situations, he helps us to point to Christ, to Jesus, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from him. That means that when your neighbor shares that they have recently lost a loved one, your own heartache and God's healing come together to give you exactly what you need to be able to share with your neighbor the difference that God made in your life, how God's best was seen through your worst, and how God can do the same in their life too. It means that when your coworker comes to you and shares that life is just so out of whack, there's just no peace, and we're here, there, and everywhere, that you can look to your own stress and God's strength and share with your coworker how that all comes together for God to bring his best out of the worst in your life, and he can do it in their life too. And when that friend in your life that comes and shares maybe a prognosis that doesn't look so good, or they're just feeling the weight of the world, that you can talk about the darkness in your life and the light of Christ in your world, and be able to share with them the difference that God made, how God brought his best out of your worst, so you can share with them how it can make an impact in their life. And that's all the preaching of Christ. That's all living his story. That's all something that all of you can do. No matter what your experiences, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what skills you think you have or you don't have, you can point to God doing his best in your life to those who so desperately need to hear it. That's why God can call on each of us. He says, to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's not a doctrinal dissertation. That's not a point-by-point Bible study. That's simply sharing the hope that you have in Christ. Because as Christ is preached, God's saving gospel is proclaimed, hearts are healed, and God's purposes are accomplished. And because of that, we all have peace.